Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I'm here with Anselm, and we're going to be actually doing a walkthrough of this book right here, Homeric Greek by Clyde Farr. Now, here's the older version of this book. This is the book that I actually used to go through it, and it's from 1920, so the good thing about that is that it's in the public domain. So in the link for this video, I'm actually going to put a PDF to this book. So if you're interested in learning ancient Greek, you could use the PDF, you can use these videos, and we're going to basically walk you through this book. These books are pretty much the same thing. This one's just a nicer, larger print, a little bit easier to use. It explains things a little more. So you can either just get the free one off the PDF, or you can buy the nice one on Amazon. It's still pretty cheap. So, you know, why learn Homeric Greek? What's the point? Or why this book? Well, ultimately, the thing that I'm the most interested in, and I'm sure you're the most interested in, is reading the New Testament in Greek, right? I mean, we want to master New Testament Greek. And here's the thing about that. A lot of people have this philosophy that you just only study New Testament Greek to do that. That's not the best way to learn. You really want to learn the entire Greek language if you're going to be good at reading the New Testament in Greek. And especially if you're going to master the older Greek of the New Testament, it's good to know classical Greek, Homeric Greek, modern Greek, all of those things. And so, you know, I believe in a more holistic approach to learning Greek. Let me explain to you some of the reasons why. Because, for example, in the New Testament, there are lots of words that are only used one time in the whole New Testament. So, you know, you're barely ever going to see these words in the New Testament. But if you read other Greek literature, you're going to see these words over and over again, and you'll actually be able to learn those words really well. So in Bible colleges and seminaries, a lot of them will only teach you like 300 vocabulary words. Well, you need to know a lot more than that to be able to fluently read the Greek New Testament. So there are 5,000 some different vocabulary words in the Greek New Testament. And, you know, if you learn 313, then they tell you, hey, you know 80% of the words on the page. But here's the thing about that, Anselm, is that knowing 80% of the words on the page is not enough to read, because that means every fifth word you don't know. You read four words, you get to a fifth word, you don't know it. Well, you're not going to get very far, are you? It's ridiculous. Okay. So if you learn 1,000 words, they'll tell you, you know, now you know about 90% of the words on the page. Well, here's the thing about that, 90% is still not enough. Every 10 words, you don't know. So really, you need to know like 95% of those vocabulary words in order to be able to fluently read the New Testament without having to go grab a lexicon all the time or use a bunch of, you know, training wheels and cheat sheets and stuff like that. You know, I want to just be able to pick up the New Testament and just read it, which is what I do every morning, by the way. You know, I just pick it up and I just read it, and I can just fluently read it because I've learned thousands and thousands of words. And part of how you do that is by going outside of the New Testament and reading other ancient Greek literature, okay, including Homer, okay? Now, why Homer? Well, when the New Testament was written, you know, Homer was basically the standard Greek text for people to learn how to read Greek. So children who are growing up in the Roman Empire and learning Greek, they learned it from the Iliad and the Odyssey. You know, it was just something that was just ubiquitous, and everybody's studying the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's really, in many ways, a foundation of the ancient Greek language. And so the Iliad and the Odyssey are linguistically super important for the Greek language. And so, you know, I promise you this, for example, that the King James translators, you know, the guys who translated the King James Version into English 400 years ago, I guarantee you that 100% of them had read the Iliad and the Odyssey cover to cover in the original Greek. And the Iliad and the Odyssey are super long. 24 books of the Iliad, 24 books of the Odyssey. I guarantee you that they've all read it, okay? Now, how many of the translators of the NIV do you think have read the Iliad and the Odyssey cover to cover?
probably zero.
I don't know, but I wouldn't really be shocked if it's zero, because the NIV guys that I've seen, I you know, probably wouldn't even be able to make heads or tails of a page from the Iliad, okay? Now, I'm not saying that about all of them, because I don't know all of them, but the scholarship that was on the King James Translation Committee was of a much higher level, and it started right here. You know, so if we're going to be serious about our studies of New Testament Greek, I think it just stands to reason that we would be able to read the Iliad and the Odyssey. Now, here's what's so cool about this book. Most Greek courses are just giving you kind of just little made-up sentences, random sentences, and you do that for a really long time. Now, obviously, this book kind of starts out the same way, because you got to walk before you can run. So it starts out basically just giving you little made-up sentences to help you get a feel for the verbs and the nouns and the adjectives and just kind of how it works. But by the time you get to like lesson 12, there's 77 lessons in this book. By the time you get to lesson 12, you're actually reading the Iliad. Mm-hmm. And you start book one, line one. So like lesson 12, boom, it's the first five lines of the Iliad. You're actually reading the real stuff from the beginning.
Yeah.
And if you get all the way through lesson 77 in this book, you read the entire book one of the Iliad, which is 600 lines, 611 lines of Greek poetry. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like I said, there's 24 books in the Iliad. 611 lines is, you know, like an average length of a book, right? So, you're going to read the first 24th of the Iliad. You're going to read the entire book one of the Iliad if you go through this course and understand all of it. Okay, that's really cool to be able to read and understand an entire book of the Iliad. And so that you'll be well on your way toward actually being a serious student of ancient Greek, and not just one of these bozos who pretends to know Greek because he's got his little Bible software and his little lexicon and whatever. You know, you can actually learn the language for real and pick up the New Testament and read it and actually know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And when you see those words that are only used once, the apax legomenon, when you see those, you'll be like, okay, it's only once in the New Testament, but I've seen it over here. I've seen it in the Iliad. I've seen it in the Odyssey. I've seen it in Herodotus. I've seen it in Sophocles. You see what I'm saying? Does that sound good?
Makes sense. Sounds good.
Yeah. And plus, you know, the Iliad is entertaining. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, it's actually something that could kind of hold your interest a little bit mm-hmm. as you're learning this. So I hope that that explains a little bit why we're going to be going through this ancient literature that's obviously not spiritual from a Christian perspective at all. It's a worldly book. But for the language, we need to go outside the New Testament just in order to really learn the language well and get more practice with the language. Now, Homeric Greek and New Testament Greek are not exactly the same. Obviously, these are different dialects. But I'll put it this way. 90% of what we learn in this book is going to apply to New Testament Greek.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, 90% of modern Greek is also going to apply to reading the New Testament. So you're not wasting your time studying Homer or studying modern Greek if you really care about learning the New Testament in Greek. So anyway, that's just an introduction to the series. We're going to be going through this chapter by chapter. We're going to be using the modern pronunciation, because if we're taking a holistic approach, I think it just makes sense to use the modern pronunciation. We can speak modern. We can read the Bible in modern pronunciation. We can read this in modern pronunciation. And nobody really knows what it sounded like, you know, 2,700 years ago anyway. So we might as well just go modern,
right?
All right, very good. So we'll see you in the first lesson.